Welcome back to the Growth in Jams podcast. My name is Saul and I'll be your host here again today. This week I'm sitting down with my youngest sister, Sophia Salazar. She is a sophomore at Western Washington University. We talk about a variety of things that have led to the culmination of who she is. Topics include her first year of college and changing her major, self-esteem and confidence, mental health, relationships, and family dynamics. I hope you enjoy the show today. Welcome, Sophia. I'm excited to be here with you. To start, share a little bit about how we know each other, your year in school, your major, just some of the basic stuff before we jump into it.
Yeah, of course. Hi, everyone listening. Obviously, as my older sister and older brother have said, Saul and I are step siblings. I believe I was pretty young when we first met, but I believe the first time we met was at the park. I think that was the same time you met like all of us. So I am an incoming sophomore at a small liberal arts college called Western Washington University. Not many people know it, so I have to like explain like the whole thing when I say it. But I am currently majoring in theater arts education and minoring in social justice.
Awesome. That's very exciting stuff. Before we even go any further, congrats on finishing your first year of school. I know that first year of college is a huge transitionatory time, and it was probably not easy with online learning and the pandemic as well. So congrats for finishing and for finishing in exceptional fashion as well with great grades.
Thank you. Yeah, I had to, after I switched my major, which we'll talk about more as we go along, my GPA went back up, thank God. So it was a little stressful there a bit, but you know, with COVID and everything, teachers are pretty lenient.
Awesome. So before we jump into the college, I think because you're so fresh and maybe high school is a little more ripe for you, maybe talk about anything during that time period that was formative for you, maybe some things that were hard that you look back on, or some things that were really good and helped you to grow when you look back on with fond memories.
Yeah, of course. High school is definitely like a very big learning environment for people. I know when I was in high school, I went through about like 25 different personalities of like who Sophia should be and who I want her to be. So it was really hard to become like who I am today. And obviously, I'm still deciding who I want. I'm only 19, so I have so much time. But it was hard solely based on the fact that freshman year, I kind of had like two different Sophias. I followed in both like Jay's soccer path and Andrea's like theater path. So it was really hard. Like the soccer Sophia and the theater Sophia, they're very different people.
Yeah.
And I had to choose. So I chose theater Sophia, which I'm majoring in theater and not doing any sports right now, which I'm sure people know that I'm theater Sophia, but I had to combine both personalities. But theater is definitely my life now, which is still crazy to me because I never thought, you never really know what you're going to major in until you like get in that one class and you're like, that's what I want to do. But yeah, high school was really hard because you have like so many people talking in your ear, like you should do this or you should do this. And especially like Jay was in soccer, Andrea was in theater. So it was really hard to do that type of stuff. So theater Sophia, definitely the right path for me, that is for sure.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I think it's all about, you know, it's this ongoing process of figuring out who you are, but it's not until you're able to make your own decisions, kind of free of those voices that are in your ear, that you're able to solidify and be happy with who you are. So it's awesome to see that you've been able to do so. And it's been great to watch you grow up as, you know, an elder sibling. Like you went from little Sophia to adult Sophia with no in between very fast. So it's really great to see you thriving.
Little Sophia with the glasses and the big eyes. Yes. And now I'm in college. Like I still think of myself as like the little 8-year-old. It's crazy to be where I am today. Cause it does, you kind of like blink and then you're like an adult and you have to do like all these adult things. Like I'm moving into an apartment in September, and even just moving from Texas, I was like, Texas is really all I've known for 16 years. And now I'm leaving. But it was so good. Even with the COVID situation, I am very privileged to have a dad who is helping pay for me to go to Washington. But if anyone listening has the chance and you're like thinking about where to go to college, I would go out of state, just like, this is your opportunity where you can get the same education. Sure, it's a little more pricey, but I got a few scholarships. So it ended up kind of like the same price as going to UT would have been, probably cheaper than what going to UT would have been. But I have younger friends in high school still. I'm like, if there's a chance for you to go out of state for college, do it. Texas and Washington, two completely different states. So it was really nice to get new people surrounding you and stuff. And like, it was a really big learning curve. People still make fun of me for saying y'all unironically, but you know, living in Texas for 16 years, you don't really have an opportunity to change that.
Definitely. That's awesome. Maybe talk a little bit about, you know, your undergrad admissions and why you ended up taking that pretty big leap of faith to pack and move to Washington for school.
Yeah. So why I chose Western is actually super funny, because we only really went up to Bellingham, which is the college town Western is in, to see my uncle and my aunt and my cousin. Like, we weren't really thinking of anything. And we had gone to see like University of Washington and Seattle University and Seattle Pacific University, all these very big colleges in Washington, that I didn't think Western would be anything special. And obviously it was. I go there now. So I was in a really bad mood the morning that we were driving to Western. I was tired. I didn't get coffee. I had to pee. I was like, it was the whole thing. I was just annoyed. But like, driving up, there's like a hill that you drive up on, then you see the campus. My mom, she always tells me, she's like, I just saw the spark. Like, your eyes lit up. Like, you were happy. And I could tell, like, oh, this is where Sophia is going to go. That's awesome. And after touring all the Washington schools and then touring all the Texas schools, I was really in between Baylor. So it was really hard. Like, do I go to Baylor and kind of be at the school that's well known, but it's like $50,000 a year for teaching? It's pretty expensive just to become a teacher. And Baylor is a very big STEM school, I feel. Like, you know, Jay went there and he's in engineering. But, you know, you have family that have opinions. So it was really hard to kind of put your foot down and be like, no, I want to go to Western. But thank God I did put my foot down, and I actually only applied to Western. So I kind of put all my eggs in one basket, and I was like, well, hopefully I get in. So here you go. Here's my resume and my essay. Like, please accept me into your school. And I actually found out that I got into Western on Halloween. So all of my pictures that my mom posted on Facebook of me getting in, I have like clown makeup on, and all my friends are there dressed in crazy costumes and stuff. I mean, Halloween will always have a special place in my heart, because that's where I kind of started who I am today. And Western, you know, it's a very liberal arts college, which I have said, but I don't think I'd be anywhere else. A lot of people in Texas, like my mom's friends, sometimes I'm like coming home and I'm getting tattoos and like all this stuff. Like, I got two new ones this week, and they're like, oh, Washington's brainwashing you. And I was like, I think I was already a little brainwashed by myself, but it's just funny, you know, the opinions people have about colleges. But I would just say, go where you want to go. I mean, I would not be as happy at Baylor as I am with Western. And I'm really glad that my mom really pushed me to go to Western. She was like, Washington is the place for you. You've been saying you want to go to Washington forever. And if you transfer, you transfer. Like, it's not that big of a deal. And I actually thought about transferring freshman year, just like COVID. And I was living with my grandparents in their basement, and it was like a very hard time mentally. So I was thinking of transferring to Boston because my sister Andrea lives there. And then, like, thank God I didn't, because I would have felt like I was giving up. And I don't think I would have changed my major to theater if I transferred. So I'm very glad that Western kind of showed up and I moved on campus, because if I stayed with my grandparents, I think that I would have transferred for sure.
Yeah, that's definitely not an easy way to start college, or to be in an environment where you're not able to fully be yourself, or maybe you're a little bit on edge or just trying to find exactly who you are. So it's great that you were able to have a fully fledged college experience, or at least get the glimpse and start of that a little bit in Washington. That's awesome. Why don't you talk about what your major was before and then what it is now, and a little bit of the reason why you desired to change it, and yeah, anything that went into that kind of decision-making process.
Yeah, of course. So my mom is a math teacher. As you know, it is her entire life. So I've always wanted to do something in education. I really like working with kids and helping, especially inner city kids. They have a really hard time. And my mom, she worked at a Southside ISD school for her first time teaching. And that's when she kind of fell in love with teaching. And I was like, oh, I like this. Like, little 8-year-old Sophia was like, okay, I'm going to do education. So I went into Western in the STEM teaching. So I wanted to be a math teacher. I wanted to teach math in elementary school and middle school. And I was like, you know what? My first quarter, I didn't take any math classes and I missed the logical thinking. So I went hard and took Cal 2 winter quarter. And let me tell you, Cal 2 in college is a lot more difficult than Cal BC in high school. Mm-hmm. And I took Cal 1 in high school with my mom. And I was like, you know what? I can do this. Like, I got a 3 on the AP exam. I was like, okay, we're good. No, it was so hard. I had millions of problems to do every night, like over 10 problems to do every night. And we had class every morning at 10. So I never got a break. And it was really, really hard, but I really worked for it. And I studied hours upon hours a day. Like, I felt like Andrea, like, she used to study for like hours in her room. And I finished with a 79.34. And that broke me because I was like so close to an 8, like a B. And I was like, I couldn't get there because like I missed like one problem on the final exam. Yeah. And it was really hard. But I was like, you know what? I did it. I did it myself and I passed. And it's not like I didn't try and got a C. Like, I really tried and got a C. And that's when my 4.0 became a 3.2. And yeah. I was like, oof, okay, math is going to be hard. And then, you know, I was still doing math and I was like, okay, I'm still going to work for it. And then I got put into linear algebra 304. And let me tell you, I was in that class for one day and I called my mom and I was like, mom, this class is going to kill me. And she couldn't help me. It got to the point where my mom was like, I don't really know college linear algebra. Like, you're kind of on your own here. So I was like, oh crap. Okay. This is going to be difficult. So I kept talking to my mom. I was like, I'm having a really hard time doing this. And she's like, it's okay. Like, you got it. Like, my mom being supportive as she is with all of us. Mm-hmm. And the next day I get a call from her and she's like, Sophia, do you actually like math? And I was like, I mean, yeah, I guess. And she's like, your answer shouldn't be, I guess. Like, your answer should be, yes, I love this. You need to be passionate, especially if you want to teach the subject, mm-hmm. because your lack of passion can show in your teaching. And that's the last thing I wanted. I've had math teachers that lacked passion for the subject, and it really reflected on me as a student. And I'm sure you've had the same, I'm sure everyone's had the same experience where you have that one teacher that kind of taught because they couldn't do something else. Mm-hmm. And that's like a really hard stereotype for teachers as well, which we can talk about later. And I was like, you know what, mom, like, I really don't, but I don't know what else I'll do. And she looked at me and she was like, I think you're forgetting a very big part of your life in high school. And I was like, what, theater? And she was like, yeah. Like, why don't you teach theater? And in my head, I had these stereotypes about theater teachers. You don't get a job. You have to have been an intern on Broadway or something crazy like that. And my mom was like, you know, that's not true. Reach out to your old theater director from high school. Talk to him. I'm sure he can help you find theaters. So I changed my major the next day. And that was kind of it, because I was in a theater 101 class that quarter. And I remember telling my mom, I was like, I miss theater so much. My brain is working in all different sorts of ways and I'm understanding more. She's like, Sophia, you have not talked about math like that all year. And I was like, you're right. So I'm really happy I made that change. It was really hard because having you, Jay and Andrea, like doing these like law school and grad school, like in Jay, like working at Johnson & Johnson, it was really hard to be like, you're not going to be in STEM, and that's okay. Especially like with my dad, he's a doctor, and you know, you have these three older siblings who are doing amazing things. And then it's kind of like, oh, you're just a theater teacher. But anyone listening, don't think like that, because teaching is really hard. And I'm very glad that I made that decision and I kind of put my foot down. And I was like, I want to do something that's going to make me happy and not waste the money I'm being given right now. And I just kind of went for it. And I'm really glad I did. And I got my GPA back up to 3.63 and I got all A's spring quarter, and I'm very happy with where I am now.
Yeah. Awesome that you have like the self-awareness as well to know, even though maybe this isn't what my siblings are doing, this is what I want to do. And like, you only have one life, and it's important that what you do with it is important to you. So I'm really glad that you're able to make that decision. And I'm excited for you and proud of you. So that's awesome. Cause
thank you.
It took me a long time to make that decision for myself too. I went into college as a chemistry major wanting to do med school, and it was for a lot of the wrong reasons. And it wasn't until I had like an epiphany my third semester after taking several chemistry classes and biology classes and stuff that I didn't want to do it for the right reasons. And yeah, like for you to be able to see that pretty early on is awesome.
It's really nice. Our family, we're very supportive of each other. So I never felt like, you guys would like look down on me or anything. I mean, it's great. Like our family, people think we're kind of crazy because we're so like, oh my God, we love each other. And like, mm-hmm. we're like super close. And yeah, it's interesting to see other people like family dynamics. And ours is just completely like off the rocker compared to theirs. And it's really interesting. So the supportive of our family has really helped let me make that change, especially my mom being a teacher. I mean, having someone who is doing what you want to do and they have a more biased outlook on the career is definitely beneficial for sure.
Yeah. And it's important to highlight too that, you know, teaching has a very specific stereotype within our culture and society, but in simple terms, teachers are superheroes for what they do. So it's really important to keep that in mind when you look at what you do, because you have the ability to shape and form people at such an early age and make a really good impression on them, both good and bad, but an impression on them nonetheless. So that's yeah, exactly. a great opportunity.
And my mom, like you can see it, she's made so many different connections with her students that they still want to hang out with her 6 years after she taught them. And I just love that aspect of teaching, is like getting to know people that you'd never get to know in any other job field. And so many kids coming from such different families and cultures and backgrounds, and really understanding who they are. And that's why I'm minoring in social justice as well, because I think that and teaching kind of goes hand in hand.
Yeah, that's awesome. I didn't know you were minoring in social justice, because that is right up my alley as well. And I'm right there.
Yeah. Well, I always forget like to tell people that I'm minoring in social justice, because I just made that decision at the end of my freshman year. So I haven't taken a class for it yet, but I'm taking American Social Studies, which is not American history, but it's like it's not history. I'm not taking a history class, but I'm very excited for that class. So yeah, I'm really happy that I made the social justice minor as well.
Awesome. To take a brief step back, just in general about your first year of college, how did that all go for you in terms of ups, downs, you know, challenges and victories? What did that look like for you?
I mean, obviously everyone through a COVID year, it was mm-hmm. really hard. You didn't get the freshman experience, you didn't get to go to parties and meet a bunch of people in classes. I think I only made two or three friends the 9 months I was there. There was not a lot of people on campus. It was really difficult making friends, but I came to Washington with some friends who are going to Western, and I'm rooming with this wonderful girl named Kaden and this wonderful girl named Greta, which, funny story, Greta, Kaden and I, we kind of had like a meet cute for roommates, like the rom-com meet cutes mm-hmm. that they have. Kaden had gone to the bathroom and she came back and she was like, someone is karaokeing Harry Styles in a dorm room. So we had to meet them and be friends. So we wrote a note and slid it under the door and ran back to my dorm and like opened the door and peeped to see if they were reading it. And that's how we met Greta. So all three of us are rooming together next year, and it's going to be really fun. And I was in a relationship freshman year at the end of it. And I wouldn't say it was a mistake to get in a relationship, because it wasn't. It was a good learning curve to kind of have more freedom in a relationship. You mean you don't have to ask your parents to hang out with them, and like the door doesn't have to, like, you know, it's so many different things that would like hinder more growth in a relationship. And I learned a lot about myself in that relationship. I learned what I do want, what I don't want. And it ended about 2 weeks before summer, long distance. It wasn't going to work out. We're 19. Like, we're not going to get married. I wasn't expecting anything. So that was a big learning curve. And I let it affect me with time management, for sure, where I think I could have put myself on the back burner and put him as my number one priority, which it's good to have the person you're together with a priority, obviously. But I think it got in the way of my life a little bit too much. But no hate towards him. We had a great relationship. It was just a freshman year in college type of relationship. Mm-hmm. There were so many different learning curves your freshman year of college. But it was, overall, it was definitely a really good year. And I made the best out of it with the obstacles that you had to face. And my mom says it, like, she can tell the Sophia that came back in December is completely different than the Sophia that came back in the summer. And it makes me feel good, because, you know, you don't see those changes in yourself because you're with yourself every day. So when I see like people who I haven't seen in a while and they recognize those changes in how I carry myself or like confidence, it makes me feel like, oh, good. The things that I'm doing to help my mental health is working. I got a therapist this year and she's really helped me. I got diagnosed with generalized anxiety this year, which I wasn't surprised about, but it was obviously hard to kind of realize like, oh, something is a little wrong. Mm-hmm. And now I have something to work for and better myself and really like pinpoint, okay, this is the part of myself that needs a little bit more work than the other parts. And I think that has definitely helped. My grades obviously help me make the decision to switch to theater. So I definitely would say everyone kind of needs a therapist in life.
Yeah.
And it definitely helps. I know our family is pretty big on mental health awareness and we really talk about it with each other. And that's also helped. There's the stereotype, you go to therapy because you're crazy. That's not true. Everyone should go to therapy.
Yeah.
Like it's so nice to talk to someone who's very unbiased in your life. But I got off the topic of college. But yeah, so definitely freshman year of college was just a big learning curve, but there are so many good and bad things that happened that kind of made me who I am today. And I know that sophomore year, I'm vaccinated now, so I have a little more freedom in COVID regulations, even though I'm still like mask is my safety blanket, but hopefully I'll like kind of get over that. But yeah, I'm really excited for what next year has to offer and living in an apartment and like rent and all that stuff. It's going to be very big adult things. So we'll see how it goes.
Very exciting stuff. And thank you for sharing a little bit about your walk with mental health and just some of the issues and the obstacles that you overcome to get to where you are now.
It's definitely
something to be proud of. Where do you think, if anything, those things started? And how did you see yourself, I guess, or why did you decide to tackle them this year? You know, did they start at the beginning of high school, the end of high school? Or because I know you referenced some things like confidence and becoming more confident. Just highlighting a little bit of that journey, if you want to, of course.
Yeah, no, of course. I'm very big on talking about it. So elementary school was really hard. You know, as one of the bigger kids, and kids in elementary school are bullies, like about little tiny things. And family-wise, there was some drama there, which I won't like totally go into because that's like a whole baggage that needs to be unzipped. So we won't talk about that. Confidence was really hard for me. I didn't look like Jay, Andrea, and you, and I was bigger. And it was like a whole thing that I kind of had to like develop in myself. And I hadn't realized how much that affected me. Trigger warning, I had an eating disorder 8th grade and freshman year. And I still struggle with it to this day. This is definitely a big part of my life, but I didn't tell anyone about it, which probably was the wrong decision because I think I told my mom a year ago that I had it. And obviously she had a very parental emotion to it. She's like, I didn't even know that this was going on. But I think I hid it pretty well because I was doing soccer every day. So the weight loss could have been exercising. So I was doing a pretty good job hiding it, which probably wasn't a good thing.
Yeah.
But that was definitely something that I still struggle with. And that was confidence issue again, going throughout high school. And then I kind of got to college and I realized more about myself and how my confidence issues and my lack of trust within myself and who I am has been affecting like my romantic relationships, my platonic relationships, and my relationship with family even. So I decided I'm going to start looking for therapists. I'm going to put myself first and put my mental health first. And I haven't felt this good about myself since I can remember. Therapy has really helped build who I am today. Starting from like 8th grade glasses, Sophia, to Sophia who has tattoos now. Like it's completely different. And I am happy that my mom is very calm with me getting tattoos. She doesn't love tattoos, but it's definitely a way to express my emotions. Even if the tattoos don't mean anything, it's just kind of like every time I get one, I'm like a new person. And I like that. Like I used to dye my hair all the time and it's like falling out. So I had to take a break on that. And you know, I was like, you know what? I'll just get tattoos now. So I have 4 now and I started getting them in December. It hasn't even been a year and I already have 4, but it's fine. It's okay. So I have things that I can express who I am within myself. And I think it's really nice to find those certain things that you can do like just by yourself where it makes you realize, oh, I have been growing and I have been, I would say like updating isn't the right word, but like helping yourself be who you want to be and who you want to become.
Yeah.
And, you know, changing little things about my appearance has always helped because when I have one hair color for too long, I just feel like I'm stagnant and like I'm not pushing myself to do crazy things, which might sound weird to other people, but it's kind of just how I've always been. I will change what I wear one day to something super drastic and no one has seen me wear that. Or like change a hair color, or wear different jewelry, like little things my parents can like boost my confidence and be like, hey, Sophia, you're gorgeous and you can do whatever you want. And self-esteem has just played a really big part in my life. And obviously, you know, all the stories. And so having a therapist have very unbiased opinions about what happened and like can kind of lay down. It's okay what you're going through. And it's okay to know that healing is not linear. And I think that is my biggest problem is I think to heal, you need to be in a very straight line going up. But I mean, you can't always get better. Like there's days where you're just going to feel more sad about a situation or just more sad about yourself, but you can't let those days be the only thing that you see. I know a lot of people, they like to focus on the bad. And I still do that. There are some days where I'm just like, everything in my life is going wrong and I'm going to put in my earbuds and listen to sad music all day and no one talk to me. And I had to realize there's so many good things going on in my life. And I have to remind myself about that. I like writing it down, like writing down all the good things in my notes app in my phone or in a little journal. So I just have had to find certain things to help build self-esteem. And it has helped. My mom and your dad, Luis, can see it, which makes me feel better. Like, oh, they can see that I'm growing. That's nice. Yeah. So I would definitely recommend therapy to anyone. Even if you don't think anything's wrong, it's crazy what you kind of find out. Like, oh, that one little part of my life from 10 years ago has affected who I am today. Let's work on that. I found out so many different things about myself that I was like, oh, okay, cool, cool, cool. Didn't know that was a thing. So yeah, I'm a very big advocate for mental health. I definitely recommend therapy to anyone.
Yeah, that's so awesome. And I can say from my own perspective as well, like you do seem a lot more confident, a lot happier. And I'm proud of you for disclosing a lot of what you have today, because I know it's not easy to talk about. So thank you. That's really incredible.
Hearing other people's stories has always helped me because then I feel less alone. And if I can open up myself and be more open with what I've struggled with, it can help other people. I talk to so many different people now and I'm very open about what I went through as a kid. And it's made me who I am today. And since I'm more comfortable talking about it, it has made me heal more. Yeah. So I definitely am very open to talking about mental illness and stuff and those types of things in like family dynamics and everything like that.
Yeah. Awesome. A great segue from here would be to talk about maybe some of your identity as a woman, maybe some of the things that you've experienced as a woman that have shaped you. I know you've grown up in a different generation than, you know, the rest of us siblings that have probably made it a lot harder for you to grow up, but maybe talk a little bit about some of your experience growing up and what has shaped you as a woman.
For Gen Z, which I guess I'm an early Gen Z. I don't like to be associated with the late ones with the Tide Pod eating and stuff, but you know, everyone has their own thing. Social media is a big part in our life. You see me, I'm always on Twitter or Instagram. TikTok now is a big thing. And it's really hard. You're always being judged just a little bit. You post something on Instagram and you're like, I hope I get this many likes. And if I don't get this many likes, I'm deleting the post. And that was a big thing in high school is you would see all these like beautiful people who didn't look like they were in their awkward 13, 14 stage that all of us kids went through. Like you and Jay had the long hair and you had the braces and the lip gloss. I had the glasses and the braid. Like it was, you know, everyone goes through those types of things. And I see these beautiful girls on Instagram, even if they're older than me, I'm like, I should look like that. And it was just, it was really hard. I had to kind of like take a step back and be like, you don't need social media to feel adequate. I got grounded from my phone in eighth grade for about 3 months. And I will never tell my mom this, but she'll listen to this podcast. Mom, it was probably the best decision, the best punishment you could have done for me, because I realized a lot of my friendships were just solely based on social media likes and getting likes and just wanting likes on posts. I said likes like 5 times. Okay. But I mean, especially in Gen Z, I mean, you know, like, I don't know if Sebastian's big on the social media, but no matter if you're in it or not, you are always surrounded by it. Mm-hmm. Like getting as many followers on Instagram and being funny on Twitter and all these different things. It's just so many different things you have to keep up with. So that definitely stunted who I am today. And going to Washington and meeting all these new people, I've definitely gotten better where it's like, I don't need 400 likes on a post. I'm going to post it because I like the pictures and it only matters if I like them and not other people. And Instagram just got the feature where you can hide likes. And I think that was probably the best thing that they've done in like 5 years. Because now you're not worried about how many likes someone else's post has compared to yours. And you're kind of just showing like, hey, this is where I am in my life. And I'm really happy and I'm enjoying who I am. And then you also kind of have to take a step back and you're like, and you know, you can put on a face for a 2-second picture, but the other 23 hours and 50 whatever minutes, like you're who you actually are. And that was also something that I had to realize was these people aren't always happy. They might not have the best relationship. I mean, speaking of relationship, yeah, social media, TV shows, you get this look on what a relationship should be and how you should always be happy and how you should never fight. And I just got to the moment where it's like, I'm in a relationship almost because I want to fight with this person. I want to have those tough conversations with them and I want to grow with them as a person and they will help me grow as a person. And social media, you see these very happy couples and they're always happy. I mean, you don't want to talk about your relationship issues on social media. I get that. Yeah. But like, I mean, as like an eighth grader looking at posts of adults being super happy and they're doing these big things, I'm like, I need to do that. I need to always be happy in a relationship. And that's kind of why my relationships always ended after like the quote unquote honeymoon phase, because I was like, oh, we're not happy anymore. We need to break up. And that was like, that was obviously that was a difficult thing. And I'm still like getting over that. I still have issues when we're not like happy all the time. But you can't be happy all the time. It doesn't mean you don't love them and stuff like that. Like you and Jay, you guys are in these like amazing relationships. And I know you guys have had to work for it. And I think social media and relationships, they're really hard to kind of go hand in hand. So social media was definitely a big stunter of growth and a big pusher of growth. So it's like the same thing, like the positives and the negatives. But yeah, I mean, compared to you guys are like Facebook, like Andrea talks on Messenger on Facebook and stuff like that. And I'm just like, what? Like I talk on Snapchat, like, what are you doing? Yeah. So it's definitely interesting to see like how you guys communicate to your friends and how I communicate to my friends. It's just completely different. And that also helps. I don't always have to talk to them on Snapchat because you guys text them. It's just like learning curves within social media again, especially in middle school. Everyone's getting social media. And if you don't have it, you're weird. I think I snuck Snapchat on my phone. And once my mom found out, she's like, why do you have Snapchat? You're in sixth grade. And I don't know, Snapchat, whatever. And like Kick was like a big thing in middle school, and like Kick was just its own crazy platform. And I'm glad people stopped using it because, I mean, you could get in touch with some weirdos on Kick. I will say, I almost wish that my mom had parental guidance on my phone so I couldn't download those types of apps, because I think it also forced me to grow up too soon. And I was going into eighth grade acting like I was a junior in high school. So that was hard. But yeah, I mean, social media, positives and negatives, like everything in your life.
Yeah, it's interesting because I think middle school and high school, there's a lot of social capital involved with social media. And then once you get to college, like, not that that 100% disappears, because I think one of the downfalls of social media is just that it promotes this hyper comparison and this need for more. But I think once you get to college and you're starting to remove yourself from your bubble, that is what your current social media was, maybe in high school or middle school.
Exactly.
You're able to realize that not that much social capital needs to be put into it. And it's definitely not easy to learn that, because it's a large chunk of what your world was. Mm-hmm. And that was the case for me too. Like, I didn't have social media for 3 years in high school, and then I got it and I was like, wow, I'm placing all my emphasis and social capital into this and not using it as a constructive tool. So it just takes that awareness to be outside your bubble. And then you're like, oh, I understand that this isn't who I am. This is just an extension or a piece of who I am. And it's something that I can use for fun. Instead of like, this is the crux of who I am.
Exactly. And I see how you, Jay and Andrea, use social media, and especially you advocate a lot for religion and mental health and stuff. And I love that about you, is you're always trying to help other people get better. And I know religion has really helped you. And I think I'm still kind of hesitant to go in that arena, but I'm always interested in, and I read the posts that you post about it. And I'm like, this is something that I could get into. I just don't think I'm there in my life yet. But it's just so amazing seeing how you advocate for so many different things on social media. And this podcast, even listening to Andrea and Jay and your siblings, you know, Josh's story really hit home. Like, it's just insane how you have all these people that are connected to you, but you never talk to them. I don't think I've seen Josh in years. And when I saw him, it was a passerby. We were like, hello. Like, it's so insane that social media also just helps you connect with these people that you would never connect with in real life. So it's really also a positive thing about social media, is you see so many different sides of people when they're comfortable, like opening up to people maybe they don't know or talk to enough. But hearing other people's stories is just incredible.
Yeah. Well, thank you for those kind words. And yeah, if you ever want to talk about faith or any of that, that conversation is always open. To highlight just briefly, all religious institutions are obviously flawed because they're made up of imperfect human beings. Mm-hmm. So I think it takes a long time to not get past that, but to understand and just accept that people are imperfect and are going to make mistakes, and taking it for what it is at its very core and essence. And yeah, that conversation can come at a different time and any time in the future if you ever want. But I think now would be a great time to segue a little bit into family and what the role family has played for you in shaping who you are, some of the experiences that have helped you, maybe some that have hindered you a little bit, but nonetheless shaped you, just pretty much anything that you feel is related in family sense to who you are.
I mean, definitely coming from a very large blended family is a part of who I am. My mom's remarried, my dad's remarried. So I have all these different backgrounds of people coming into my life, and I wouldn't ask for it any other way because it's really opened myself up mentally and allowed me to reflect on who I am as a person more. It's crazy to think about, what if my mom hadn't met Luis at that salsa class, and like you weren't in my life and Luis wasn't in my life, and all these people that I've met because my mom had that one dance with Luis, and everything kind of works out for a reason. Coming from a blended family and talking to people who, you know, parents didn't get divorced and remarried, they're still together, and they have such a different view on what makes a family a family. And I'm just like, you know, I call my best friends my family, like they're my sisters. And I think it's just coming from such a large family that we have has helped me. Like, anyone can be a part of your family, of like a family of just you. It doesn't have to be your entire family, and family doesn't have to be blood. And I think that having a blended family has really helped that. And obviously there's downsides to having a blended family, like clashing heads and coming from those backgrounds, you have different views on life, and those views on life can make you stubborn and adamant about one part of life. Especially with my dad's family, I think that family's bigger than my mom and Luis's, our family together. It's like going to reunion and seeing all these people who live in Peru and Canada and in the States, and you're getting all of these views. And you're just kind of like, why would you think that? But it's their opinion. So like, you're like, I have my opinion and we're going to agree to disagree. And we don't always have to be right. And Andrea and Jay touched on this a little bit, but we have problems with blended families. My dad and my stepmom's marriage has obviously been difficult. I mean, she had 4 kids in the matter of like 10 years. And I can't imagine that. Like, that's crazy. And she's doing amazing things now, but I know it was really hard for her to get to that position. I applaud her for that. And I applaud my dad because he has a lot of kids. He has 8 kids. There's 8 of us. And he always is there to help us and provide for us. And my dad and I's relationship isn't perfect. I don't think your and your parents' relationship can be perfect at any time.
Yeah.
So we've also had to work on that together and separately, where we kind of have to decide what type of relationship we want, especially because I lived with mom and Luis. So I had more of a relationship with them than just calling my dad once a week and seeing how he was. So that was hard, but my dad and I are in a good place now, and me and my stepmom are in a good place now. So it's really nice that I'm confident in those relationships. And obviously we still have things to work on, but we've grown so much. And my mom, she, you know, we love her. She's amazing. She's definitely a big component about who I am today. Her family dynamic is so weird. And like, being so close with my mom, like, people kind of think I'm weird about that. And I would take a bullet for her. Like, I would not be where I am without her. Mom, if you're listening, please don't cry. I think you would. But like, there's just so many different things that have made me who I am about being in such a big blended family. And I used to take it for granted, but I'm really happy that I learned. I'm in this blended family for a reason. And all of these things happened so we could be living in Texas and have you as a stepbrother, like, is amazing. Like, we love you so much. Like, you have no idea. It's so crazy how everything became this blended family, and how I always talk about it. I'm like, oh, I love my family. It's so big. And other people are like, you like having a big family? And I'm like, yeah, when we all like get together, it's like a whole thing. And I love it. Like, we have like such like a good time together, and we're partying, and we're all at the age where we're adults now and we can talk about these serious conversations. I can't imagine even 17-year-old Sophia 2 years ago having this conversation and being so open about what I've gone through and stuff. And it's just, having this big family has really helped that, because we have very loud conversations when we all get together, and we're very open with talking with each other. So it's really nice that now I'm an adult and I can be more involved in those adult conversations, because now I'm like, cool. Like, I'm one of the cool kids now. Like, all right. So that's obviously like really nice. I just love our big family. And I think I've repeated that like 7 times, but I wouldn't have it any other way. Having a big family is amazing. And like, no hate on having a small family. It was my mom and us 3 kids for a few years. And even that is just amazing. And that's where you really got close with my mom. And that's why it was really hard for me to move to Washington. So I was like, I won't see her every day. Oh no. But let me tell you, my mom and I FaceTimed every single day. So it was all good. It didn't even seem like we weren't seeing each other. Yeah. So it's really nice to have like a crazy family dynamic. It definitely keeps you on your toes for sure.
Yeah. Agreed. I mean, first of all, not enough good things can be said about your mother. She's an incredible woman. She's played a very integral role in my life in shaping me into who I am as well. And just being a great demonstration of what it means to love, just with no bounds. So incredible.
Yeah, exactly.
An incredible woman nonetheless. But yeah, in general, I think having this big family has been so helpful in a little bit of providing bumpers of like...
Yeah, like a safety net.
Yes, a safety net and like reaffirming who I am and being able to bounce ideas off of y'all. And yeah, those conversations that we all have, they're very much what I think I'll look back on for the rest of my life and think so fondly of. It's not like the magnificent trips that we took or any of those things. It's more so just the day-to-day and the conversations that we've had. I think those are super critical. So yeah, thank you for sharing a little bit about your dynamic. I think yours is a little bit more hectic than mine.
yeah, my dad's side of the family is very big. So we have quite a lot to talk about when we all get together.
I think now would be a great place to, if we haven't encapsulated enough of what your relationships have looked like or what you've learned about yourself, now would be a good time. But if you feel like you've captured the essence of what that's been for you, we can move on from there as well.
I mean, basically just a lot of people try to date to marry, which I don't think is a bad thing. But when you're 19 in high school, it puts a lot of pressure on a relationship. Yeah. And you guys are trying to be serious too fast. Just enjoy it. Just enjoy the other person. And like, I know in our generation, it's really hard, like commitment issues I struggle with. I know my friends struggle with it. It's hard to kind of put all your eggs in one basket because trust issues is a really big thing. But I mean, you just kind of have to enjoy the moment and not worry about the future. I mean, worrying about the future is all I've done for so many years and it's aged me. Like, I'm so old because I've constantly been worrying about, oh, what is the next 5 years going to look like? And I haven't been enjoying the present in relationships, career choices, college, like anything, especially in relationships. You really just have to enjoy where you are with that person now and not stress too much about who you guys are going to be together in 3 years. Because I mean, you never know if you're going to be together in 3 years, and it's okay if you're not. It's not the end of the world. So I think just like kind of enjoying the moment. Enjoying the present. Don't worry about the past. Don't worry about the future. Just enjoy who you are with that person now is something I'm still working on. And I'm sure everyone is still working on. It's hard. But yeah, I guess that's kind of all I really have to say about relationships is just enjoy the moment and really have fun with the person. And don't be afraid to fight, because I was afraid to fight. Don't be afraid to fight and be honest with how you're feeling.
Those are all well said and great.
Thank you.
Great insight. I guess we've done a great job of encapsulating a lot of who you are, but now would be the point in time where I kind of open it up to you for things you feel that we left out that are critical to who you are, general advice, music suggestions, book suggestions, like literally anything at this point that you feel is important to add before we wrap up.
Well, I'm big into musicals because I'm a theater dork. So if any of you guys want musical suggestions, you know, you could just hit me up. But a lot of people aren't musical people. I think we really like encapsulated who I am right now. And I'm just really happy that we got to have this conversation. And I think we both learn more about each other. Because I mean, you know, whenever you come, it's like a big family thing. We don't have time to like sit down and have a really deep conversation about the religion thing. I'll definitely be asking you more about that soon. Maybe you and Carissa, because I know that's like a really big thing in your guys' relationship. Yeah. And I really love that about you too, is, you know, God plays like a very pivotal role in your life. And I think having something really big to believe in really helps you understand who you are more, and that it's okay to make a mistake, because someone with a lot of insight is forgiving you, so you can forgive yourself. I mean, this was just a really good conversation. And I even learned more about myself, like answering these questions. You know, you write like a little script about what you want to say, but you always kind of go off on a tangent. So it was just a really good conversation, Saul. And I'm really happy that you are doing this with all the siblings.
Yeah, thank you. I'm the one that has, you know, the honor of highlighting who you are. And I'm really thankful that you were able to do this. And I'm really proud of you for a lot of what you've shared. Because even me personally, I didn't know a lot of this stuff. So it was a great learning experience for me, but it allows me to take a step back and just be incredibly proud of you. So thank you for being here. Thank you for your time. And I'm looking forward to continuing to get closer as time goes on, but also continue to sharpen each other as iron sharpens iron. So thank you, Sophia, for being here.
Thank you.
Bye, everybody.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Growth and Jams podcast. My name is Saul. We are hosted by 1718 Media. If you enjoyed the show today, please feel free to give it a rating in the podcast app. Also, follow us on social media at Growth and Jams. Thank you for tuning in.